Yo, what's going on? Welcome to the Hillian Hideout. It is me, Shano, and I'm here with the original second co-host of this podcast, Xander Blades. What's up, bro?
Hey, man. Do you like that? Just kind of like just give you the way to, you know, open up and everything?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of told me that last week, so I just assumed that was going to be like the consistent. While we're here without our other cohort, the pod father of the Hillian Hideout.
Yes, indeed. I just like the fact that you kind of came in and was like, yes, the original co-host. And I'm just kind of like, you didn't even have to, you know, say that. It wasn't.
Well, yeah, I know. I think it's just more or less to explain to the viewers that I know my place.
I mean, no, you don't have to know your place. This isn't. Hey, you know, it's all good. Ain't nobody pulling, right?
I'm like, oh, well, so you mean I'm an equal? You're like, that's not what I said.
I mean, I thought, but you know, you get it.
Yeah, man, I'm just having fun, Xander. You know.
You know where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. You're my goddamn house. No, okay. So,
a whip just like grabs you by the neck and drags you.
Drags me into the computer. I'm like, oh man, this is not what I thought. Or into Apex. Anyway, today we're here to talk about, you know, I don't really know how to formulate it in the proper words. I would literally just read the text message that Xander sent me this afternoon and do it like that, but I'm not going to do that because I don't have my phone in my hand. So Xander, take it
away.
See,
if I would have actually known that, then I want to, you know, actually like put the text together like a little bit more better. But yeah, I'll just say it out for what it is. I remember like me and you having a conversation, and I want to say that we probably hinted at this either last podcast, I'm not too sure, but actually the last podcast I said that we would talk about women in gaming. But I will not be doing that.
Yeah, I will never do that.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I've been approached.
Yeah, I've been touched.
Oh my god, they heard what I said and they found
somebody. Somebody came through. No, actually, I was gonna hold off on that because we wanted to talk about that and just I kind of wanted James and a few other people to be in on that as well.
Right.
But for more of the serious topics, I want to have everybody on that one.
Yeah, great.
But yeah, but see, for this one, yeah, we did bring up the topic or the idea of while we were playing Apex last week, a question popped up, and I was just kind of like, "What exactly is all this for?" You know,
well, right?
Any of this, really? I mean, like, just I know there's characters and that there's lore apparently, but as I'm playing the game, none of this is actually being, you know, executed.
It's hardly explained.
Yeah, it's just, hey, I'm running through and I'm killing people, and I really don't care whether or not, you know, who I'm killing or whatever. Now, see, there was a little part during the game. What happened, you motherfucker?
Sorry. Go ahead. I paused it on accident.
Oh, Shane just paused it. Okay. But anyway, my train of thought. Oh no. Yeah, but anyway, like during the conversation, like, the game does this thing where you can, like, thank people, and, you know, it's one of the things I kind of like about it. They seem to really build a camaraderie, or they try to build a camaraderie between each people that's playing the game. But anyway, like, I said thank you to somebody who had left something for me, and then my character started just randomly talking to them about whatever. They were like, thanks, I'm sorry that I left you in the war or something. I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, what war?
Yeah, what any of this, like any of this part, and then the game just kind of like leaves it off on that. So, and then yesterday, Shane, you remember we were playing, remember I like pushed a button and I was in some weird war room fighting these damn robots or something to get some kind of weapon, and the weapon was mad as hell, so it wasn't even worth it.
Yeah,
but yeah, but just overall, like that just kind of brought to my attention, just like, I guess the story or the plot of these shooter games, you know, these online shooter games. I always kind of wondered whether or not it was actually important to dive deeper into or, you know, even care about in the first place.
Well, just for example, I mean, it is. I think it is an interesting thing. And I mean, something leads in believe if, you know, I think obviously it's one thing that you have when you have any kind of online game where it's like even say just MMOs.
Yeah,
it's not made to have an ending. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of single player open world sandbox single player games don't have endings because they don't want you to actually. I say it doesn't have ending. Obviously, there's an ending of your campaign or whatever. But like, say, just a game like Apex or Fortnite. You know, I think we might have talked about this last week, but Fortnite, you know, it wasn't even intended to be the game it became.
No.
So for them to put any kind of story behind it, which they have, you know, a good bit at this point, but
something about a portal opening up, and the only reason I know about that is because like the trailer for season 2 or 5 or whatever. Yeah, I really don't know anything about that
game. Yeah. I mean, there's so much different stuff. I just typed up just to have a brief little reference, but like they have so many different things. It's like Fortnite storyline. Oh, it's a YouTube for dummies.
We're going to watch this YouTube video,
and you guys are just going to listen. No, I'm joking.
This is this is a reaction channel podcast. Man, you're changing the game.
Yeah, and it's like apparently there's just a long story regarding Fortnite and the ever evolving map throughout the different seasons. You know, it seems like a lot of games will change up stuff like that. But the one thing that has been interesting about Fortnite so far is like, I think it's more or less you get a new piece of the story for each. I don't know if it's season or chapter. I think they have multiple seasons within one chapter.
Yeah, pretty much all the people call like these things seasons now.
Yeah. Which, I mean, let's say, for example, UFC, they have a new season pretty much like every month. And it's every month since it came out, they've had like a new season.
It's just dudes fighting.
Sure, but...
Like, what's so exciting about that?
New unlockable shit. I mean...
But how does that like play into a lore or a story?
Oh, it doesn't. I was just referring to the seasons thing. Because you were saying that a lot of the games, they do the different seasons.
It's like, I played UFC and it was just like my dude rose up from the streets or whatever the fuck. And
that,
yeah.
It's definitely not at that part. The game itself is not applicable to.
It's like Skate.
Yeah.
Like, you remember Skate Store?
I don't really.
Yeah, exactly.
Skate is just such a lonely game.
Man, it was big for a while.
It was a good game. I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying it was.
I remember everybody thought, like, it's better than Tony Hawk because it was, like, the only game of his time. And people were like, oh, well, Tony Hawk's back, so I just want to go back to this.
More like just a massive, like, thorn in the side. It was a thorn big enough to bleed Tony Hawk out because it ruined the Tony Hawk franchise.
Well, I mean, Tony Hawk franchise ruined itself, actually. I mean, think about it.
I mean, look, Project 8 was the first one that came out after Skate came out. And Project 8
it was dead when it fell off.
Nah, I don't know.
Man, it was gone, bro.
Hang on, let's think. What was the one before Project 8? It was American Wasteland. American Wasteland was a pretty popular game. Oh, you probably didn't even like the Underground.
Exactly.
That's fair.
I knew when a man got off his skateboard and you can like blow stuff up and world construction tour and all that little silly rebellious stuff.
Yeah, that shit was fun.
For you kids that love Sum 41 and Good Charlotte, I bet it was great. But it
and
was
Bam,
a great time.
And Bam Margera.
Yeah, Bam Margera. Yep, he was a person.
He was. Barely now. He's really a shell of who he used to be. The frontier war is over. After decades of conflicts between the IMC and the militia founded to fight them, the region of space known as the frontier can finally see peace, but liberation can come at a cost. It goes on and on and on, but it's talking about Apex. Right. Yeah.
So from just a little bit that I looked up, Apex's story, I mean, we'll just go game by game.
Yeah.
So being on Apex is basically tied to Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no clue about that until I looked it up earlier on the day. And each of these trailers kind of has like each character, and they're all legends. That's why it's called Apex Legends. Like, these are all considered to be like badass characters who have their own little thing. Now, you can kind of probably compare and contrast that to maybe something like Overwatch, where it's kind of like, I guess the lore of it is more so about like this is a kind of like a Hunger Games sort of situation,
right?
Like, everybody came together after the war, and some dude who was involved, I think, in Titanfall 2 spectates, or he pretty much created like this entire like game show where people watch these people like kill each other every single week or so,
right?
And certain characters have like certain little quirks about them, and certain attacks and I guess like conversations or different like things that draw them with other characters.
Right.
Like there's this one girl who, no, there's this one guy who's I guess like his mom or brother or something like that has something to do with Apex, and people were relatives of other people in Apex, and somebody blew up a tower at some point. And it's like, well, essentially it's just like all these stories kind of play into each other, and eventually like all the characters end up fighting with each other or fighting, you know, together against somebody else.
See, I'm curious to know if the, like, with kind of how it used to be with some of the Street Fighter games or like the Tekken games, it's like,
yeah,
did the character come first and then they found a way to make all the people connect? Or did they write this story out and they're like, each one of these characters will be more than likely a defining character?
Probably, but you want to know something? You hit on a very good point there, Shane. Like, this is how the closest thing that we have to this from, like, I guess back in our good old days, yeah, is fighting games. Like, right, fighting games were never really what you call story focused. They were mostly about, you know, the gameplay of the fight, the competitive edge about it. It's, yeah, like, as a kid, I remember the thing that I did love about fighting games was the story. Like, I've always been a sucker for story. So,
that's crazy.
Like, Tekken 3 was badass because of, like, Jin, you know, becoming a demon and all that kind of crap.
Nuts at the end, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was like, yo, I got to get the first games and I got to get all of them. I never did. I just got Tekken 3.
Tekken 3 was the first game I ever beat on hard. Not while I was hard, but, like, just on hard mode.
You weren't Brick mode.
I was bricked up, beating Tekken, bro.
Heart beating, blood shooting out.
Something about that man with the fucking jaguar head. It just really took me there.
Yo, King, yeah, he was cool, bro.
No, Lee was my favorite guy to fight with, though.
Of course he was, man. Like Bruce Lee, basically.
and then of course, old boy.
I just like Jin because he had like this weird kick move that was really, really hard to avoid.
Yeah, I hated when I played against the computer version of Eddie.
Yeah, his body.
He was wild, bro. Telling you, put that. And like they had a harder difficulty than hard too. And I was like, I couldn't even imagine getting to him like in the fucking seventh round of your tournament and you, or whatever it is, and he's just jacking your ass up, dude. Wah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. Yeah, because his moveset is really unpredictable.
Yeah,
Jamaican dance or something. But
yeah, no, wasn't that good? So.
But yeah, but basically, like, yeah, same thing with like Street Fighter, and I think even with a few of the other fighting games, like back in the day, they were not that story centric. Like, I think you may be able to look up some information within the book, or, you know, I guess kind of they may have like a little short, not what I would say a cutscene, but like a little animation or something where the two characters nod each other's heads or something like that, and they kind of like speak for half a second. Then they kind of go off and fight. It was like, that's how most fighting games were. I think the only one I've known within recent history to kind of like change it up was Mortal Kombat. Specifically, I think 9, which basically like followed all the movies and everything else. But anyway, yeah. So with that in mind, like those sorts of games, they didn't really have a reason to do it. Like it wasn't really even, mainly because it was more so about, like I said, the gameplay, and also it was the time, the technical stuff that went with it.
Sure.
Like, they didn't really have a lot of time to try to be like, okay, we're going to make a Street Fighter, like an open world Street Fighter game. We're going to make an adventure Street Fighter game. They do have them, I'm sure, but like for when it comes to the actual games, they're not about to like go all that deep for it.
Right. Which makes sense. I mean, I get it. I mean, Smash Bros. Is an example, not to get too far off the beaten path.
No, no, you were out of money. Like, that was a fighting game. I think Brawl maybe had like a short story to it. But
the shit Brawl
had the story. Yeah, the subspace emissary or something like that.
Yeah, it's like they made it work. You know what I'm saying? But in the same breath, it's like, who cares? You know, say this is not that entertaining, and it's not
it
was just
like I never did beat it. Like I think I got halfway through it. Yeah,
I just remember they did have some good parts where they made it like epic. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, oh my god, like you're really getting that, you know, trailer type of vibe and it during the game.
Yeah,
the cutscene in the game is like showing you some shit of like
where each character kind of like meeting each other and doing all little thing. But yeah, it's like they did put like a lot of effort in those games, but I guess the question is, like, when we get past all this, is like, well, for Apex and for PUBG and for games like another game that's called The Division, which apparently is like, I don't really know how to explain it. It's like, I guess a war in America breaks out and everybody's fighting for like food and stuff.
Yeah, I've played it before, but
yeah. Well, it's like when you were playing it, did you ever see any cutscenes?
I played it for like maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I got some gameplay in, but I had no clue about like
this. Yeah, like
I think you're in like one of the big American cities and it's like Russian takeover or some shit.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much what it is. But it's like, yeah, I think with a lot of these sorts of games, they don't really have a reason to expand on anything. Now, they do have what they call like a lot of lore and a lot of like padding background.
Right.
Destiny is one I always kind of bring up a lot because that's one of the games that I don't want to say popularized it, but, you know, being made by Bungie, a lot of people had hopes that it was going to, you know, be the next Halo or something like that. And when people, when it came out, it was basically like a looter shooter. A lot of people were disappointed, except for the people who like stuck with it, you know.
Yeah.
Boot up.
Like, I wonder how many people have been playing Apex since it came out. I know there's a lot of them, but
yeah.
Like, I wonder how much of this information that's out now, like I'm sure you made your way to the lore Apex Legends wiki. It's like the fandom wiki. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but it's just
got... I've seen it. It's like the most I looked at it, it's basically like each trailer kind of shows what the season is going to be about. Yeah. And I guess you playing through the game is kind of like the season playing out or something like that.
There's just so much shit here. It's like main
art.
Like even Bungle, it's like got names of all the people that you play as too. And I'm just like, what happened here? Like, but they also, you know, even when you're scrolling through the game and you can look and you can see where they've got like the comics and stuff, like all
this stuff. There's web comics.
But
see, I think that would be kind of something I'll probably touch on later. But I think so much of that stuff is just like fanfare.
Yeah,
it's just people who kind of like taking the small bits and pieces of the story that the game gives them, and they just kind of like draw their own conclusions to it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean. And that's
where they expand the store themselves.
Yeah. And it's like, I wonder how many of the people that do get into these games, like how important is that? That's the whole thing. Like how important is that stuff to the majority of people? It's like, obviously we romanticize caring about that kind of stuff because we are, you know, consider ourselves gamers from yesteryear where it's like, oh, we do remember such and such's name and Leon and how many games he was in and you know, all that different stuff. Resident Evil, like that one spot in that shit, you know, we cared about that kind of stuff. Our people who grew up playing Fallout, I imagine that when by the time they get to Fallout 4, they're probably, oh, well, this pertains to such and such in game one. But do people give a fuck about that? Like, nowadays? Well, see,
it's the nature of the game. Like, I think that's, it's the different sort of set. Like, I think for the closest thing we can come to with looter shooters, which are basically just online games.
Yeah.
Maybe World of Warcraft or something like that.
See, that was another thing. Like World of Warcraft, but the thing is like to me, that's the dragon, right? I mean, that's the dragon everyone's chasing. I mean, who's going to be that? Like, that just gets into a conversation of just online games in general.
Yeah.
Like,
It's a bit more expansive because, I mean, like, those games, they actually do have, like, a long listing lore and the way the characters play out and all that kind of crap. That's different.
You're living within the lore. In this game,
you are the lore.
You're in the landscape and you're fucking just going to war with people out
there. Yeah.
Like, you change the story every time because this different amount of the same character dies that time. You know?
It's like it's one major campaign that everybody has to play under and everybody can kind of like push to get to that point at the same time or something. So it's like I kind of get the community behind that. But like with these, I guess what people call looter shooters or like online shooting games or whatever.
Right.
It's always a little bit different because, I mean, when you go back to Call of Duty and stuff, you know, it was just mostly people just playing the game. There didn't really need to be anything outside of that. Same thing with Halo. You know, Halo had its own little story and the story worked and it was campaign and everything else.
Right. You had both.
That was it. It's like multiplayer was it. See, they didn't really start expanding on any of that crap until, like I said, like I would say maybe Destiny and everything else.
It's funny how much, like literally, how quickly, and just like even over the course of 5 years, like I used to be so valiantly like, fuck going online for gaming. You know what I'm saying? I was like, that yeah, maybe not as recently as 5 years ago because I was already playing online. But I remember being really young and I was like, it's so stupid that they're going to start making games to where the main important part is the playing online part. And it's like, this is an entire fucking game that you can't play unless you play online, which they make more of those, but it's not that common when it comes to a game that you've got it. Most of those games that you can only play online seem to be free or almost free.
Yeah.
Like they're come free in a game pass.
Well, it's like at least for the ones that were having a hard time, you know, getting to where they need to get to. Yeah. Because I think like, it's like, I think that's kind of the wave now because they're trying to maintain interest. They're trying to get as many people as they want to get involved in it. It's like the best thing to be is like, hey, listen, it's free. You know what? Yeah. What can it hurt? You know?
It's a whole different model of development for video games because if you think about it, it's like they don't have to really update anything that often. They do small adjustments and obviously they do server work stuff. If something's fucked up, you know, they fix it and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, like, they've got these maps on these servers just going over and over all day long. No big deal. It's like, it's not like it's, I don't know how to explain it. They didn't have to invest in people paying attention to detail in the middle of this cutscene Reagan's talking and he has to look identical with sweat dripping down. You know,
no, like, you're talking about like Warzone and like all it. Because I think even with that, like zombies, I think they really try to expand on it. And some people kind of iffy with it, but
that's
kind of the point. It's you're not really too sure exactly who is going to be coming in and playing this game for life versus who's just kind of coming in casually and playing.
Yeah.
And see, it's like when you're trying to garner different types of people, like me, you and Matt were talking about yesterday. Like how in Fortnite they have a non-building mode, right?
Yeah.
Some people might want to, you know, just do it and play it like that, and you'll be able to keep those people interested and keep them invested. But it's like for other people who want to keep the build mode, they don't have to worry about it. So it's like it's the same thing for like a lot of these people when they play Apex or PUBG or whatever else. Some people are more like me and you who just, you know, like whatever, it's cool. It's something really just to spend time. You know, it's just to shoot the shit, just to chill. Like, STS, shoot the shit. Like, I think those are the different types of gamers that you have. You have some people who are just STS gamers, and then you have people who are like real talk, like this is a life. Like, they go online, they look up every single trailer for Apex or PUBG, and they're like learning all the characters, ins and outs, you know.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm looking Trevor?
Trevor Cunningham?
Trevor. It's the magical Trevor. Dude, I can't believe how many times this fandom wiki stuff has pulled up. Anytime I look up something for video games, that's what pops up.
Oh, yeah. It's literally just a wiki page that is just for everything. It's fairly interesting.
List of best-selling video games of 2021.
So we are not doing this.
I'm not doing the whole list. But no.
The list.
Guess what was number one?
What?
Fucking PUBG. PUBG, this is all video games, not just like online video games. But obviously the online video games made more money because they're online. That's fucking wild. But PUBG made the most money. That's insane. I have no idea why they would be at the top of that list.
I guess it's a comeback. Another game
in the same category is what we're talking about too.
Yeah, but it's like you do have people who want more out of it, I guess. Yeah. See, it's like, I guess the question is just when it comes to games like that, like, what exactly draws that person in? You know, because see, that was my thing about it. Like, cutscenes were the game, that's what we grew up on. You know, right. you have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. That was cutscene, more gameplay, yada, yada, so on and so forth. But it's like with a lot of these gamers nowadays, or at least for the ones who grew up on like just looter shooters and crap, they don't particularly care about it.
I was just about to say, like, it really,
of them feel like it slows the gameplay there.
Can we please skip the bullshit? Like, I can't believe I can't skip this cutscene. One of those, kind of, you know, like, I don't care about this. I just want to do my missions. That's interesting because I think you got different types of people with that in that aspect. Like, because honestly, first person shooting games, at least since the Call of Duty era started, first person shooter games haven't exactly catered to the vast majority of them don't cater to those people that you would find playing more role-play-ish type of adventure games, you know, things with a broad story. They have definitely split away from the Half-Lives.
That's pretty much why casuals got invested in it. Like, that's something that I kind of want to
capitalize.
It's something I guess.
I was about to say easy serotonin, bro. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, see, I think to take it to a deep level to something that I might actually talk about on another topic, but you don't want to be seen as a nerd, bro.
It's true. I mean, I don't care personally.
One of the reasons why most casuals played Call of Duty was because it was like, you know, cool.
Yeah.
You know, soldiers shooting each other and stuff like that. You know, that kind of thing.
Same way people play Madden and 2K.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that was at the time kind of considered to be, oh, okay, you know, well, this is safe. Like, I can play this and still get laid. Like, I can do this and not worry about somebody calling me a nerd. Halo ain't the same thing.
I really wanted WWE, but I bought this instead.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it's like, there's nothing else to it besides, you know, just people shooting each other. There was a cool story, too, but it was more like mainstream, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it wasn't, there's no aliens, you know, there's no superpower soldiers or nothing like that.
The shit is Hollywood, bro.
Yeah, it's just strictly Hollywood, basically. Yeah, so that's the type of gamer that I think will initially started out with that. These are people who don't really want to have to worry about, like, deep story and nothing other.
Yeah.
Nothing outside of that. It's just what you get is what you get.
Yeah.
But see, for looter shooters and crap, there are really, really weird, nerdy stories that came with it, but that's just more of, I guess, a change of the times.
Yeah.
But that connection of just let me play the game, let me do the missions, is still very much embedded in.
Right. No, I mean, exactly. And that's why it kind of caters to both. And it's like, I just wonder if all of the lore, especially since we were talking about Apex, another example is Fortnite, but Apex, like, did all this lore that they have that took place after the Titanfall 2, was all this lore written and then they're like, bam, let's fucking throw this, let's put a game around this? Or, you know, was the game come to be and they're like, shit, we've got to get something out there for these fans because we want to get attached to these people now too.
That was kind of my question about to market. Know, like, because I know a lot of people, since a lot of people really did love Titanfall 2, but it just didn't, it didn't hit because of the fact that it was too story based,
right?
Like, that was the thing. It kind of came out around the time when there was like a lot of other popular games around or whatever. So, but it was also because of the fact that like the first Titanfall did away with story. It was more so like kind of like how Apex is now. See, this was a very weird time in gaming where like people were trying to decide on whether or not they wanted to, you know, see cutscenes and have a lot of, I guess, banter within the game versus just, you know, looting and shooting. And so I guess when Titanfall 2 came out and tried to get away from that, people were like, well, we love it, it's a good story. But the folks who didn't like Titanfall 1 were kind of, you know, that was it for them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm guessing like Apex may actually be kind of a love letter or a successor to Titanfall 2. So it means to kind of like keep it going for the people.
I mean, how cool is that though? I mean, really, for the folks who
did give a crap. Because I think I did read a comment early on where someone was like, you know, they just need to put all this stuff together. But I really am happy that they did this for us, man. Like, you know, the fans really did love this game and kind of got screwed over, but it's great. I'm like, yeah, I guess so.
And that's kind of cool because you kind of got the fringe. Titanfall got bought, you know, this definitely the second one got bought by a lot by the fringe because they're still on the FU train to a lot of the main. They don't want to play shit like this, or they didn't want to play like shit like this until something came that they could relate to and help open the door for them because of, you know, hey, we want to keep the spirit of this game going. Mind you, I didn't look at it like that personally when this game came out. I just thought this was like a game that was made by a competing company to whoever Fortnite is, and they made a game really quick and threw it out because they're like, we've got to get something on the shelves like this because we're, you know, dying because, you know,
Oh yeah, they definitely were, because I'm not even too sure if it can even be counted as a looter shooter. Particularly, it seems like it's trying to throw all different things together. Like,
it is
it's a battle royale game,
absolutely
first and foremost. But I mean, there's a lot of loot and stuff like that, and they all kind of follow this one, you know, sort of
Apex
thing.
Apex is literally the center, like right in the center of the circle of all the other games that I've played that are like this.
Yeah, which is probably why it's so popular, because I mean, it may be the sweet spot, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe space where like everybody is able to come together and say, all right, well, this has all the best of it, and probably like none of the neighbors.
Yeah.
I mean, also the gameplay is tight.
That's what I was about to say. And it's fun and it's quick, man. You get out of a match, you get right back in it. And I love that. It's because it's so, you're still getting, I feel like it's all, and I might have said this last week, but I feel like it's all just like loyalist. Like people who are like, no, PUBG, I'm not going to play. The way that you guys talk about Fortnite, you're like, man, I am not playing that bullshit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is just, it's strict.
Well, I mean, you do have a story about that. That kid that you were playing online with.
Yeah, yeah.
The one who kind of got you bit.
I'm always like, I'm already level 400 or something like that.
On Warzone.
Yeah, on Warzone. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, and it's like, then why are you playing?
Yeah, what Apex. Are you doing here on Apex? I was just doing S cons, me, you know, like me. And I was like, I just want to be like, dude, get out of my face.
You brat. Yeah, but see, I feel like he's one of those players, though. He's one of those people that has that mindset of like, this is a stupid kid's game, bro. And I ain't no virgin. I'm not no incel. You know, but my buddies want me to play this game. So like, I'm playing it. But like, I ain't lame. It's like, they always have to like, you know, assert themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, show that like, hey, the reason why I'm playing this game, it ain't by mine. You know, I would much rather play the cool game that everybody else is playing. That kind of thing.
Right.
Exactly. It's just like, bro, like, calm down, man.
And like, that's another thing that always feels weird whenever I do hit up new friends, not necessarily new friends, but no, hit up old friends about playing Apex. Like, I'm thinking that they're gonna be like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I'm playing Halo Infinite over here, dude. Get off my nuts. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, or you know, something like, nah, man, we're fucking. You know, we're playing Warpath or whatever it's called. I'm just joking. Warzone. That shit is trash, dude. It's literally just like clunky ass old Call of Duty ass, and it's online.
Yeah. But and see, even with them, they gave up on the damn story, too. Because they saw the writing on the walls. I mean, they saw that everybody was pretty much on this thing of like, hey, the story isn't that important, but if you want it to be important, you can check it out yourself.
Like, well, I think that they're also, and not by show of evidence, but I think they're also probably thinking to themselves, we don't need to continue to try to ride this wave, because what happened to us was we got complacent. And when they got complacent, they fell off, and somebody swooped up, Fortnite particularly, swooped up. And they're obviously, little to my knowledge, but later on, afterwards, after the Battle Royale craze started, I found out PUBG was really boiling the pot before Fortnite came out.
Yeah.
And when they made that, when that shit happened with Fortnite was making their game or whatever the actual game was, and then they had the Battle Royale mode, it's like this extra shit, and it blew up. It was like they just had it as some extra shit. Like, it was just...
Shout out to Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Matt.
Yeah, so I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, but they just missed the boat.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, damn, they got their legs swept out from under them, dude. Yeah. It's like, holy shit, we weren't ready for the microtransactions. Like, as far as all the, everybody had this stuff, but not to the degree of like how Fortnite was fucking free, dude. It's just free. And people are like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, you got to have the service to play it online, but I don't know. It was crazy. And then, you know, the way that they had it with the building and stuff, and that was next level. Like, it was so different from...
It's like, I think it was something that a lot of people didn't take seriously at first, but there's a sort of, like I said last time, a sort of addictive nature to it.
Yeah.
Like, just the going in and out, how quick it is, you know, it's... There's something to it that keeps the interest, for sure.
Yeah, they got caught off guard.
Yeah. I mean, but like I said, but I mean, just outside of the lore and the back padding itself. Because they always go back to Destiny with it. Because see, Destiny, when it first released, like I said, Bungie, everyone was talking about it. This is going to be the game. And a lot of people kind of disappointed at first. They were thinking, okay, this is going to be like a single player shooting game. And nah, it became like this like the online looter shooter.
Right.
And essentially you kind of have this thing where it's like, you just go on, you play with your friends online. You have these things called raids. And essentially you just kind of just do the same shit over and over and over again with different people.
Right.
And after a certain point, like, here's some dialogue, and then you repeat, and then here's some more dialogue, repeat, and then here's a cutscene, and then that's it. But it's like, people were kind of weird about that, because they're like, yo, what are, you know, not saying that Halo has a crap ton of cutscenes and stuff like that, but there was still more to it than that.
Right.
Some people were kind of disappointed about it, like, well, what the fuck is this shit? It's like, and it's really repetitive.
It's not cohesive enough either. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, I have to do this, and it's like, oh, but yeah, I did this instead of this, and, you know, like, I don't know.
But see, the thing is, that's what's up now. Like, that's the wave now.
Yeah.
Because see, a lot of people, because I remember like looking, reading up a lot about it at the time, and just reading people's reactions to it. And some dude straight up said, hey man, sometimes, you know, I don't particularly care about this. I just want to like play a video game and drink a beer at the end of the day, you're at work. And that's what they got. Like, I think it's somewhere between that, that they ended up linking into people who were just kind of like, I don't particularly care about the game that much, really. It's just something to play and interact with people with.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and you know, here it is. And it's also crazy to me how many people, you know, will actually use their headphones and talk to other people when they're playing the game. I only use my headphones when I'm talking to people, like y'all, when I'm playing with one of my friends or something. I just said y'all.
Y'all. But even so, like, Destiny does have a lot of different perks to it. There's a lot of story to it. There's background stuff. Like I said, it's just background. Like, I would say, like, you remember back in the day, like, a lot of those Nintendo games and stuff, when you first started playing them, they would have books.
Yeah.
You know, like, the story would kind of be in the book.
It would give you like credits.
A little short premise, a little summary of what's to come.
And a poem.
And, or like a little text draw. Like how Star Wars was. Like with Castlevania, it was always kind of like, Dracula's come back from the dead, and you as the Belmont family, and da 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 da, and there's like some real dramatic music, and then you just play through the game. You save the princess or something.
Dracula's come back from the dead, you know, okay. The usual.
You know what it is. But see, the crazy thing about it, though, is like Castlevania actually has a very long, like, watch some YouTube videos over there, it's wild. Like, they really did piece a lot of crap together. But see, that's how they used to do back in the day. But see, my point to it was that they had a lot of the technology was not good enough, so you couldn't really show a lot of cinematics. It was just, hey, you got the summary and you play the game.
Right.
So it's kind of like, now I kind of feel like, I don't want to say I feel like it's a cop out, but I feel like we've kind of been spoiled to a certain extent, because we came off of the time of like the text and the just strictly gameplay into stuff like Metal Gear Solid, you know, into stuff like fucking Splinter Cell and stuff like that. Like, just games that are just a lot of story, but then you have good gameplay, which is all kind of mended in together, like a Kingdom Hearts,
right?
You know, that kind of crap. Devil May Cry. But it's like, I guess when we were kids, we had, you know, Spyro.
Yeah.
Crash.
I mean, the thing is, it's like that stuff, I think it made more sense. And those games probably do still exist, but let's be honest, it's not in the forefront. Like, games with a good story, back when you had to have a good story, they were the most popular games out. Like, they were the games that people would buy and play. I mean, literally, we don't talk about, like, oh, god damn, that fucking, you know, that John Madden from 88. No, we don't talk about that Call of Duty from, you know, 1992. It's like people talk about, you know, the Super Mario Sunshine, and they talk about
Super Mario 64,
Final Fantasy 7. Like, these games with, like, these, you know, I know Mario.
Well, see, is the most gamers important. Do. Like, game, or I guess, like, old gamers, I wouldn't even really say old gamers. Nerdy gamers do. Like,
but those were still the most bought games, though, because that's what was popular and doable at the time.
At the time, yeah.
It's like that, and it's crazy because the whole thing expands to what they're able to do with video games, like being able to have these Battle Royale games that we've been talking about. And they're like, well, we can do the stories, but we're doing it different. They're making money different. They're doing the stories different. The approach is different. People were able to get so far out of the box that clearly,
because,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm, yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, clearly that we're, you know, as we're starting to figure out, like, I haven't even looked into the Apex storyline. Like, if, I mean, I have since we were talking about it earlier today and tonight while we're actually on the show. But, like, it's like you, we might could read through it and actually go through and learn and be like, this shit is epic as fuck.
I mean, from what I was saying, it seems fairly interesting, but it's just, I mean, I guess to move on to the next point, it's like, I don't want to do homework. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to, like, research a damn game when it, you know, it's like, if you're not going to put any effort to execute this to make me keep my interest outside of just playing it with my friend and, you know,
exactly. I shouldn't have to get on else. Google. I shouldn't have to get on Google.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to look up all these trailers. I shouldn't have to go on, you know, fucking, I shouldn't have to watch web comics.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to do all this and that. So it's just kind of like, I do get it from one perspective. It's like, hey, we got all this lore if you want to watch it. But for the most part, they probably know some people ain't going to want to do it. But it's like, you know, people could want to if you made it more interesting, or if you put it, or if you made it at least made it a little more accessible.
Yeah. Or put it a little bit more in my face.
Yeah. Balls. I don't even know how that's all this moment. Put my face on it. Put it on my Meg the Stallion.
Put it
Dua Lipa.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, but what? Yeah, but it's just. But see, I guess it's because they're trying to appeal to everybody while at the same time kind of not appealing to anybody. Which is it's a decent spot to kind of be in. You know, like I said, you're not going to piss off. You're not going to piss off the fans that don't want to see cutscenes, but at the same time, you're not really going to bring in anybody who does really want to. Because see, for a lot of these people, for like the lore hunters, they like hunting for the lore. They like going in the internet, you know, they like looking up videos on YouTube and seeing like character analysis and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I guess that's the new thing. But it's like with other stuff, like, you know, me and James, we're talking about Kingdom Hearts. Half of that stuff's already in the game. Like, the vast majority of it is in the game. You just kind of have to, you know, maybe play the game a few times to kind of get a better grasp of it or something like that. But all of it is mostly in game. I don't have to look up a damn book online like you had to do with, like, Destiny, apparently, to kind of get, these are the stories, and this is the gods of the Moon King and all this crap, and da-da-da-da. Now, apparently, they said that Destiny did do a little bit better with it, but it's just like, you know, why do I care?
Yeah.
It's the presentation. Like, you can have so many cool stories. You can have all these cool characters, but all we've been doing is just running and shooting.
Yeah. That, I mean, I've been playing, you know, I played PUBG for however long, and there's apparently some little story to the background of PUBG. And, like, we've been playing Apex. I have never looked up anything, me personally.
No.
Like, that's why I say, I'll say this in different times too as well. I'll romanticize the idea of wanting to fucking get deep into a game like Fallout 4 and Skyrim. Like, when we had that conversation, I was like, oh, like, I want to make myself seem like the kind of person who would care enough.
Yeah, but see, the difference between like Fallout 4 and Skyrim and stuff is like, You have like an old backlog of lore, and like each game has a little connection to it.
They're building.
But at the same time, it's not like you're just running around, you know, stabbing and throwing magic at stuff. There's quests. There's people that you talk to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is a different sort of game. Like, they all kind of have like a major quest. Like, I don't know. I think with Skyrim, it's like, kill the dragon with your voice and your vocal cords or some kind of crap. You are the dragonborn or something. And then you just kind of go around and meet people and do everything else. Like, it's loose connections, loose questing. But I mean, some people love that shit. But yeah, even to that point, I'm not big of a fan of that either. Cause it's just like, well, you've given me too many options. Like, I get you want to try to immerse me in the story, but it's like, bro, you know, the story's not that interesting.
Right. Exactly. It's like, it's not that captivating.
Yeah, it just isn't. Like, me coming up with me thinking that I'm actually inside the game or something, or because I guess that's the way that they want to go about it. Like, you need to feel like you're inside the game, and you're actually walking around this gray area where there's nothing but gray and these blacks and these deserts and these sands.
These blacks.
I knew you were going to say something.
I mean,
these black. Well, I mean, because at the time, it was like, one of the things that kind of always bugged me about, like, a lot of Elder Scrolls games and I guess Fallout and stuff, like the color palette was just nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it was very like mundane. Like I said, like blacks, grays, fucking, you know, dull colored.
Yeah. Like dull, not a dull colored.
Dull colored. Like yeah, just nothing.
You're saying some really, really questionable, sus shit on here right now.
But yeah, but it's just so much of it's like the landscape of it was just boring. Like that was another reason why I couldn't get into it. It was just be me marching around doing whatever for a long time. But like with a lot of these shooter games, at least they had that. Like Apex looks cool, even though it's the same kind of like stuff we've been seeing time after time again. Like every little board we go to, sometimes you find something new. And like we were talking about that, we were playing PUBG the other day, right? Where it was like, I swear to God, they keep putting me in this damn desert.
Yeah,
they keep putting me in this weird Vietnam space that I've seen about 1,000 times.
Really, if they kept putting us anywhere but Ukraine.
Pretty much, yeah. We love Ukraine. We love the Russia board with the train. I wanted to go back to that volcano war, but man, that mug is
what happened? Hell. How'd that shit happen? I don't even understand.
Like, I have no clue what's going on. Like, they've been trashing us. They've been doing us dingy as hell. Yeah, the last two times I played the game, they put us on a mat
like a level that we love, like for like 3 or 4 matches in a row, and then we never get it again.
You wonder why? Because we almost win every time we get home. Freaking like Russia, bro. Like Russia is a different world.
I will say before we get out of here, organic poison is almost is within 5 or 4 episodes from episode 100. So you guys have got to tune in. We're going to do some epic stuff on episode 99, episode 100, episode 101. But yeah, basically what it all boils down to, I think that the reason why I don't think that there are more people who care about the storylines of these games.
It's like, yeah, they can if they want to, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of like, if they want to go online and look up web comics and, you know, look up trailers or go to fandom pages, that, you know, they can do that. It's all right there for them to do it.
Yeah, the stuff exists for sure, for most of them. And like, we've been playing Apex lately, and clearly I've been talking about it a lot tonight, but I think that there is a lot of stuff on here. Like I was going through and I was looking in those comics. If you are interested, you can read these comics and they're long. Like each one of them takes like, it's got to be like close to 10 minutes to read. And each character has like 20 of them or something like that.
I would never.
I couldn't. There's no way I would die, dude. I've got shows on Netflix that like I'm just...
You ain't playing. I'll come back to them at some point.
Exactly. And I can assure you, I'll be going through them before I go through the Apex story.
It's like, if I don't binge, then it ain't happening.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah. So what's your closing statements, as Jimmy would say? Like we was in a courtroom.
I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at with it. I think that, so that's where I'm at with it. It's like, what were you at with what? But yeah, I don't know, dude. I think they're fun. You know, they're enjoyable. It would be a little bit interesting to see maybe a better execution of story and plot within these games.
Somehow, in an innovative way, even. Like, even if it's not, I don't have the answer for it, but I would hope that you would.
Yeah.
Them, the developers.
Or something. Or at least stop like putting in these little banter parts where the characters say something like, oh my God, did you remember the war? It's just like, all right, see, you didn't have to put that in there.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to find out.
I was about to say, though, see, listen, just to continue the conversation, that's a thing, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
imagine
if you're somebody who did go through their storyline and then you happen to play through the other person's storyline and you read all their episodes. As you play with a character more, you unlock more episodes of their little comic that is on here.
Yeah.
You read it and apparently it plays like little voice messages. It shows pictures. Like, and it shows, like, if it's another character from the game, it has their actual face, like, talking. Not talking, but it shows them as if they were saying the speech. Yeah.
Motion comic. Yeah, but and I guess for a person who is deep into that sort of thing, that's probably like that would be a wink and a nod to them. They're like, oh my God, they referenced it. Like the person probably just going wild, like, yes.
How cool, because I know.
That's gonna keep that person invested. Like for that,
They're gonna go spend $2.99 on that bitch for the third time this year. You know what I'm saying? And by the next year, they're going to have spent more. And it's like, just because new stuff comes out, they got this, they got that. And I love this game because I'm so invested. Do they continue to build on that storyline? Is there more storyline there that they're going to apply that was not there right now, but will be there in 2 years, but they never had it. It wasn't even written. It wasn't even sitting on the back pages anywhere. They made it to continue.
Yeah, because I mean, well, it's like they really don't have to. You don't really have to go that deep and write a lot of type of stuff, especially when you have a fan base that may even do it for you. It's just like, here's a bit of dialogue over here. Here's a little bit of backstory right over here. And then, you know, they kind of have it loosely connected and that's it. I mean, it's actually, I don't want to say like it's not genius, but it's smart in a sense because you can do the less. You ain't got just the least amount of effort, you know, possible.
That was what I was going to say for the sake of my final statement was going to be more or less just talking about how it's like the game is curated for like the perfect marketability to the broadest market of people. Like, and it works, you know, like they fucking have every kind of character. They're not too much. It stays out of any modern bullshit. Apex has like a pride flag or something you can get for one of your things, but like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm not saying like, I'm saying
Jesus Christ, dude, what the hell? No, I'm joking. We'll see. All right. Like, cause see now that has opened up kind of a new thing. We'll see. It's because of what Overwatch did. You know, Overwatch is kind of it has a lot of characters that do stuff like that, and they have like a lot of different, you know, things that are open to different people. Now, I told you, I actually like that about Apex, the fact that it seems to be very user friendly, but also it's not really into the idea. It seems like it tries to be the anti Call of Duty,
right?
Almost. You remember when we were playing the other day, and like I backed out of a match because I didn't know who the person was or whatever,
right?
It's like I was trying to get all three of us to play, but it was just me and the dude. And I was like, well, something got mixed up, so I'm just going to back out. And I got a penalty for it, which I thought was hilarious. But I said, you know, touche. Yeah. I gave him that. I was like, you know what? That's what's up. You're actually punishing people for being assholes on the game. And you're trying to, like, you know, I guess garner good behavior or I guess positivity within the game. So I think, you know, I would give them that for sure. Like, that's what's up.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, and I, because it's like, it also doesn't encourage rage quitting too.
No, that's true. Cause I tried it. I tried it several times. Like sometimes I wish I could, cause you know, you playing with somebody and you know, that person's not going to pick you up. I'm just kind of like, well, let me just go ahead and get out now. He's like, no, you have to wait, you know, at least until your character completely dies. And I'm just like, he's not coming back. I'm like, this person's at the other end of the screen.
Yeah, he does not care at all. It needs to be once they get X amount away from you, you can do that.
That's it. That's a wrap. But yeah, so I'll, you know, I think that is one of the good perks about that is a game, I guess, like not even really being on the lower thing right now. But yeah, so it's something I'm invested in now. You know, it's okay, you know, for a little bit to play.
I'm on the wave currently.
Yeah, I think like, well, you and Matt, what we were discussing last night, you like, exactly why, you asking him why exactly did he stop playing a certain game with some friends or something.
Yeah.
And he was just like, we did everything we could, you know, or is it, you stressed out that interaction. Like, you've already done all that you can. Like, we've enjoyed it for what it was, and then we just kind of moved on.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's how
I got burned. Like, I got burnt out.
Yeah. You see, I mean, that's kind of what's going to probably end up happening to me, way basis. Like, it'll be how I can say it, what's happening with us in PUBG.
It's parody for me. Like, my thing is like, I would like to start having like a third more frequently, like have some, like even if it's just one person, because the thing is like me and you can easily just talk to each other playing a different game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's like when you can keep getting more people in on the same game, then that encourages you to play the same game for longer. But if we just are sitting here doing this, you know, it's the same thing that happened with PUBG. We actually didn't seek out Apex. The only reason we went to Apex was because of the fact that
it was free.
Well, it was because we could cross platform with Tim.
Yep.
And we haven't played with Tim since. But still, like, I mean, it's like, that's the reason why it's like, oh, damn, this actually is a little bit more convenient for the sake of our schedules and just, you know, whatever, just when we do get to play. It's like, oh, man, we don't have to take 30, like, you roughly play three matches of PUBG an hour, unless you're just really with the shits and you're jumping out into the middle of the map with everybody else ready to bang.
We were with that whole last night, though. We were home. We did it at the last minute, you know, before Matt got taken out by some dude on the fucking...
Dude, we did.
That was a good one.
We had fun. That was fun last night.
Yeah, that was fun. But yeah, but it is that just having to, you know, I guess kind of keep the groove up, like I said, but I think if they were to find a way to maybe add something into the lore, they could possibly keep people more invested. But, you know, who knows? It is definitely a wave. It's definitely a genre of itself. And it's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, you don't have to do anything new to it if you really absolutely don't have to do it, you know?
Right.
But, all right. So, for the next topic, I mean, Shane, that brought up a few good points. I think you were talking about something of the other of video game soundtracks.
Oh my gosh!
I think I want to say like me and James probably like got on something like this before, but I ain't gonna say it. All right, yeah, but anyway, yeah. So for the next podcast, we have a pretty good idea, or Shane brought up with a pretty good idea about the impact of video game soundtracks. So, from Tony Hawk to Halo. The feelings that you get now and the ones that you had back then were while hearing those classic songs or ensembles. What effect did it have on the boosting of the careers of the artists when they were featured on Madden or Midnight Club? Not specifically those games. Laugh out loud. I'm reading a text.
I'm pretending to be Joe Biden.
I also thought about the movie games, but that'll be the next one. Yeah, but I thought that was a pretty good point. I want to say we may have touched on that a few times before, but I do kind of like the expansion of it. We did bring up Skate. I don't know, Skate had a really good soundtrack. Tony Hawk's, of course.
My message before that one, I believe, and it might have been that one, actually. I think it was the one before that, but was so long that it made me feel bad, so I didn't want to put in the fact that I was like, it's clearly something that we all have talked about since we've been, you know, removed enough from our childhood. Or just, let's just say, for the past at least 8 years, we have bragged about video game, video game soundtracks. Like, we talked about, man, I first heard that song, you know, Dave Mirra's fucking bike BMX2. It's like that kind of stuff. And our Skate, you know, like, even like I said, the Halo theme song, it is not something that you probably, I wouldn't typically just turn it on in my car, but somebody does.
There's memes of dudes getting together and going into bathrooms and yelling it out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even, they all get in the bathroom, they're like, oh, and they fill the hallways.
Man, I mean, that's just creepy. But exactly to that point, you know, exactly. It's like, and it's like Midnight Club, like, there's artists on there that were big, but like, back in the day, before the internet was the way the internet is, people didn't just have, like, you had this weird
area. You found music through video games.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it happened to people like me, like one person, and, you know, the people that I know that I've talked about it with, like in small town Mississippi, imagine how much effect those, because those were the biggest games. Like, I mean, you're getting this, like, ATV or MX Unleashed and shit. Like, it's Tony Hawk. The Tony Hawk was like very high selling games. These are video games. And it's like, this music was on there. Like, Rancid is a punk band that, like, I, you know, before I ever even went to a punk rock concert, I knew the band Rancid. I never would have even told you anything about punk music or whatever, but I knew who Rancid was because of Tony Hawk, among other bands. Fucking the Casualties. They used to be like the poster children for punk rock music. And I heard about them on Tony Hawk before I even knew anything about punk rock music. And I'm just saying, that's just the kind of examples that I say for me personally. It definitely is. We'll talk about it when we do.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't you want to just, you know, kind of save some of that, you know, for the actual podcast? Now to think about, we're going to clip that and just put it in the other podcast.
Yeah, we'll use it as a trailer. No offense, I fucking hate you. Everything you stand for.
uniform makes me feel.